Good morning. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about what it would look like to really follow Jesus. Not like someone's following you on social media or something like that, but to be a real follower of Jesus, a true follower of Jesus, a disciple of Rabbi Jesus. And we've been going through a lot of great resources from Practicing the Way, including some of their teaching and these little videos, and we're just so thankful for them. I'm telling you, everything I know about spiritual formation and being intentional about it, just about I've learned through Practicing the Way. We've been looking at this really great book called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. If you don't have that book, you should get it and you should read it. And we probably have some back at the Connection Center. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to give you a copy of it. This is about real discipleship. This is about not just talking about Jesus, but becoming true apprentices to Jesus and being with him and becoming like him and doing the things that he did so that we could be formed into his likeness. And that means us, by the power of his Spirit inside of us, rejecting, conforming to the ways of this world and all the ways that it tries to deform us from what God originally intended for us to be, and instead being transformed into true humans, into the likeness of Jesus. And this is supernatural work. This is God's work. Philippians 1:6 tells us that God began this work in us and that God will finish this work in us. So transformation in us is God's work, but we have a part to play. And it's really a lot like when Jesus healed the crippled man in John chapter 5. And you remember the story. This man's been crippled for 38 years. And Jesus goes up to him and he sees him and he's like, look, I'm going to heal you, but I'm going to give you a chance to participate in your own miracle. So I'm going to ask you to do something, to act on your faith, to do something in faith. I'll do the miracle, but I'm going to let you participate in this miracle. So here's what I want you to do. Stand up, roll up your mat, and start walking. And as that man did what he could do, Jesus did in him what he couldn't do, and he healed him. Really similar story. In Luke 17, Jesus finds 10 lepers. These guys have leprosy. We don't have a lot of that in Comal County, but it's a bad deal, I understand. So these guys have leprosy, right? And Jesus goes up to them and he's, you know, I'm going to heal you. You're going to participate in your miracle. So I'm going to give you something to do that you can do. So go now and show yourselves to the priest. This is an act of faith for them to go to the priest and show them that they've been cleansed and show them that they've been healed. So they get up and as they walk, is what it says. This is Luke 17:14. As they participated in their miracle, as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Again, this is Jesus letting them participate in their own miracle. As they did what they could do, Jesus did in them what they couldn't do, and he healed them. And for us, one way we practice, we participate in the miracle of our formation is through following these practices of Jesus, like finding a daily prayer rhythm and spending time in the Word, Sabbath, generosity, service, mission, communion, community, fasting. These practices, what do? They slow our lives down. They open our lives up to God, and they create time. They create space for God to do this transformational work in us. As we do what we can do, God does in us what we can't do. He makes us more like Jesus. So this isn't just like a sermon series or some kind of self-help information, like self-improvement project or something like that. This is the beginning of a lifelong journey to be formed by God's Spirit from the inside out, and to be formed by these practices from the outside in. And we are going to be spending a lot of time on these practices from now until Jesus comes back. So it's going to be potentially a minute. Because they're key. These practices are key to us being formed and transformed into his likeness. And I know it, man, to think I'm going to be like Jesus, that sounds like an impossible thing to say. And it is. On our own. I mean, realistically, from Adam, right, from the very beginning, not one single human was ever to be able to be the complete human that they were designed to be. Not one single human was ever to really be able to completely, fully depend on God and trust God and commune with God until Jesus. And that's what he came to fix that. He came to create a new humanity that would be less like Adam and more like him. And we are those new creations in Christ. We're filled with his Spirit. so that we can fully trust God, so that we can fully depend on God, so that we can commune, right? So that we can really be with God. And by his teaching, by his model, by his power, transformation is possible. But it's not inevitable. It doesn't just automatically happen. You don't just get baptized and then sit on the couch and watch ESPN and wait to turn into Jesus. That's not the way it works. God calls us to partner with him in this formation. And to be effective partners, we need a plan. Because that's what we do, right? When something is important to us, we make a plan. For your education, we have a plan for our education, right? I'm going to get my basics at community college. I'm going to transfer to a state school for my bachelor's degree, and then it's going to be my first master's. I'll come from Stanford, and then I'll go over to Harvard for the second master's and off to Oxford for my doctorate work. That's the way I did it, sort of like that. But when it's important, so we make a plan, right? I mean, we have a plan for our career, right? I'm going to apply for this job. I'm going to get that promotion. I'm going to work really hard, and I'm going to have the corner office by the time I'm 40. That's a plan, right? We have a plan for our money, right? That's what a budget is. Money's important to us, so we have a plan for our money. We have a plan for our time. That's what a calendar is. That's what a schedule is. It's saying, this is time is important to me, so I'm going to make a plan for it. If we go on vacation, if you go on vacation for 7 days, you don't like load up your snow skis and your surfboard, right? And all of your tennis stuff and your golf stuff and get in the car and back out in the street and say, all right, where are we going? You know, it's only 7 days, but it's important to us. So we make a plan, like the route we'll take and how we'll get there and where we'll go and what we'll do and what we'll eat and how we'll pay for it. We have a plan. Anything if something is important to us, we make a plan for it. Some of you have a plan right now for your kids to be a professional athlete. Right, it's going to be select teams starting at like 3 years old, 200 games a year. You know, we're going to start coaching at 2 years old, a strength and conditioning coach by the time they're four. When they're five, we start them on creatine, and then we start getting straight into the we'll get steroids at eight, you know, and then we're going to have a sports psychologist when they turn 10 because they're going to need it. And then like a quick stop for a full ride scholarship to a D1 school, and we sign the big contract. It's all planned out. Right? It's important to us, so we plan it out. I am getting to an age right now where I'm getting concerned about my plan for what's going to happen to Margaret after I'm gone. It's important. So we have to have a plan, you know, life insurance and annuities and retirement and Medicare and all that stuff. So, I mean, I have a plan. My plan is not to do anything. I'm not going to save anything. I'm not going to buy insurance. I'm not going to do nothing. You know why? Because when I die, I want it to be a real tragedy. So it's not a good plan, but it's important, so I have a plan. And this is the point. Most of us plan for every important thing in our lives except our spiritual formation. And that one thing, for some reason, we just kind of, I guess it'll be fine, right? I guess it'll be okay. I guess it'll take care of itself. Your spiritual formation is way more important than your education, or your career, or your money, or your time, or whether or not your kid becomes a pro athlete. It's way more important. Nothing is more important than becoming like Jesus. Because becoming like Jesus means that we're going to flourish. It means that we're going to be what humans were created to be. We're going to thrive. We're going to matter. And not just in this life, and not just in this world, but in the eternal life and God's kingdom that's coming. So what we need is a trellis. What we need is a thoughtful, prayerful, biblical, intentional plan for our spiritual formation. So what does that look like? How do we make a plan to be spiritually formed? And today we're going to talk about the answer that some of the first followers of Jesus came up with, and they called it a rule of life.
A rule of life is a schedule and a set of practices and relational rhythms that creates space for us to be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did. It's an intentional plan to slow down and simplify our life around being spiritually formed by Jesus. Rule of life is ancient language, so it can sound strange or even off-putting to our modern ears. But notice, it's rule of life, singular, not rules for life, plural. The original Latin word used by our spiritual ancestors was regula, where we get English words like regular and regulation, as well as rule and ruler, because it literally means a straight piece of wood. Some scholars believe it was the word used in the ancient Mediterranean for a trellis in a vineyard. In John 15, Jesus gave his most famous teaching on spiritual formation. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Early Christian teachers picked up on Jesus' metaphor and followed it to its logical conclusion. For a vine to bear much fruit, what does it need? A trellis, a support structure, to lift it up off the ground, guide it in the desired direction, and guard it from damage, disease, and dangerous predators. In the same way, to abide in the vine and bear much fruit, apprentices of Jesus need a trellis, a support structure, to guard and guide their lives into transformation. A rule of life is exactly that, a trellis. It's a way to schedule into our daily life practices and relational rhythms that align our time and our habits to our deepest desires to be with Jesus and become like him. The motivation behind a rule isn't duty, it's desire. Think of the way an athlete disciplines themselves with daily drills, or a musician with daily practice. It's all in service of a deeper desire. They know we have to connect our desires to daily disciplines if we want to see them become a reality. For apprentices of Jesus, a rule of life is made up of daily practices, like beginning your day in prayer and the reading of Scripture, weekly practices, like keeping Sabbath and gathering with community, and monthly practices, like serving the poor and preaching the gospel. It's all the practices we intentionally, repeatedly do to offer our lives up to God for transformation. Put another way, a rule of life is an intentional plan for our spiritual formation. And in the chaos of modern life, with all its hurry and digital distraction and cross pressures, we need a rule more than ever before. It's an ancient idea whose time has come again.
So this idea of a rule of life, as I've been discussing this with some of you, I know for some of you, they just love it. You know, I want to be more like Jesus. I've just been waiting for it to happen, and now I got something to sink my teeth into. You know, I got something I can actually do to be part of that, and finally I can have some intentionality to my spiritual formation. Some people love it, and some people hate it. Especially if you're more of a spontaneous person. You know, if you're more of a kind of seat of your pants kind of person. Or if you were like really burned by a religion of legalism, and now you've kind of spent your life trying to earn your salvation. And the harder you've tried to find your salvation, the more you just found failure and shame and fear, and for you, you might just clam up at any discussion of any kind of rules. And so the idea of a rule of life may sound just horrible to you. And man, I absolutely get that. But here's the thing, as John Mark Comer says, you already have a rule of life. And whether it's written down or not, and whether it's conscious or unconscious, and whether it's wise or foolish, and whether it's based on long-term vision or short-term instant gratification, and whether it's moving you towards your vision and towards your goal or sabotaging them, even if you've never heard the term rule of life before today, you have one, because we all do. It's just, it's a way that we live. It's a morning routine. It's a typical workday. It's a network of relationships. It's a budget. It's a calendar. It's the time that we spend, things that we spend our time on. So the question really isn't, do you have a rule of life? The question is, do you know what your rule is? And is your rule of life leading you to the life that you really deeply want? Are the practices in your rule of life working for you? Or are they working against you? So I'll give you a great example of this. One of my goals is to be a healthy person. So I'll tell you a couple of rules in my life. And one of them is intentional, and it's really moving me towards that goal of being a healthy person. And one of them is unintentional. It just kind of happened, and it's honestly kind of holding me back or moving me away from being a healthy person. So the first one is the better one. It's about church donuts. Okay, so when we first started the church, Margaret and I, the very first service we ever had, Margaret and I thought, what if we had donuts at church, you know? So we stopped at Krispy Kreme Donuts in San Antonio, and we drove out here with a car full of hot Krispy Kreme donuts. And so, I mean, like that first day, I ate, I don't know, eight. I, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Bearing my soul, okay? So I'm guessing probably eight-ish. And then like the next week, I don't know, 9, 10. And so I began to realize, you know, this is not a sustainable pattern, right? This is not a trajectory that I want to live my life on. And so I made myself, I don't have any self-discipline. I know that. So I made myself a rule. And my rule was, I don't eat donuts at church. And so I eat donuts, but I don't eat them at church. And I eat at church, but for 18 years, I have not eaten a donut in this church. This is an intentional, listen, it's an intentional practice that's moving me towards my goal. Do you see that? And let me tell you kind of the other side of that. I have another practice in my rule of life. It's just the way I live. It's just what I do. And that is that every night when the day is kind of over, and you know, it's time to start wrapping things up and you're locking doors and turning off lights and it's kind of over for the day, I'll walk over to my refrigerator and I open the refrigerator and I like scan what's in there. It makes that noise and everything. Right, and I'm just looking to see. I'm not hungry. It's nothing to do with that. I'm just seeing what's in there. Like it's different than it was last night, right? And I'm looking what's in there, and if I see something great, I eat it. And if I don't, no big deal. Close the doors, walk around, do something else. I come back. You know, I kind of go through the thing again. Ultimately, I'll find something. Right, it might be ice cream, it might be a pickle, but I'm going to find something in that fridge and I'm going to eat it. And so can you see what that is? That is unintentional, right? I'm not saying, hey, I'm hungry, I think I'll walk over to the fridge. It's not intentional. I didn't say, I'm going to make a rule. Every night at 11:30, I'm going to walk over to my, wasn't intentional. It just sort of developed. It just sort of happened and it's become the way I do it. It's become a rule of life. And can you see how that rule of life, I didn't mean to form that practice. I didn't mean to form that into my rules, but I did. And can you see how that's holding me back from my goal of being healthy? So many of us feel so far from God so much of the time. So many of us feel like we're just always in a hurry and we're living in pain from our past. Or we're living in fear about the future, and we never experience the freedom and peace. We never experience God's presence in our lives. And the problem isn't that our rule isn't working. The problem is that it is working. We have a bad rule. We are being formed, whether we know it or not, for better or worse, by what John Mark calls the choice architecture of our lives. By all the habits, by all the relationships, by all the decisions that fill our day, by our way of living, by our rule of life. And if we have a worldly rule of life, that's going to lead to conforming to this world. that's going to lead to deformation from God's design for us. If we have a Christ-like rule of life, if we set our rule of life full of the practices of Jesus, that leads to transformation. And that brings us back into God's design for us, which is the likeness of Jesus. So if my rule of life is always being in a rush, I'm always on the phone, I'm running from one thing to the next, and I don't never have a minute for God, I never have a minute for me, I never have a minute for other people. Can you see how that way of life, can you see how that rule of life deforms me from what God created me for? And if my rule of life includes quiet time with God in the morning and spending time in the Word every day and taking a Sabbath and spending time with people that love me and that want the best for me and being generous and serving other people and telling people about Jesus, can you see how that way of living, how that rule of life can make me more and more like Jesus? And my rule of life isn't doing it to me. And I'm not doing it to myself. But through the practices that I choose, I'm creating a rule of life that slows me down and opens my life up to God. I'm creating time. I'm creating space for God to do what I can't do and make me more like Jesus. So the thinking here is, what if we got as intentional as we are about our careers and our educations and our kids becoming professional athletes? What if we got as serious about creating rules for our life that would lead us not to deformation, but to transformation into the likeness of Jesus? What would happen if we had an organized, planned rule of the practices that we'll do every day, or that we'll do every week, or that we'll do every month, or that we won't do, that lead us to our goal? Right? We're going to have a rule of life anyway. We're going to have practices anyway. What if we chose practices? What if we built a rule of life that eventually led us to our goal of being with Jesus and becoming like Jesus and doing the things that he does? And the rule can change, and it's going to change. And as we change and as we grow and as we transform, our rule is going to change and grow and transform. So we're going to talk about this, I'm telling you, until Jesus comes back. We are never going to finish this. We're never going to finish crafting our rule of life, because the more mature you get and the more but like Christ you become, the more you're going to see other things that you want to do, the more you're going to hear God's voice calling you to even do something else. If you have no quiet in your life, if you don't allow space for that in your life, when are you supposed to hear from God about the changes that he wants to make? But when you quiet yourself and you listen and you give an opportunity for that, like the more it happens, the more it happens. The more you open yourself up to these changes, the more God speaks to you and shows you. So we're never going to finish crafting our rule of life, but we can start it. And so if you're ready to get intentional about your spiritual formation and take the next step in your apprenticeship to Jesus, I can't tell you how many people have said, look, man, I became a Christian, I got baptized, now what? Right? What do I do next? But if you're ready to take like that next step in your apprenticeship to Jesus, if you're ready to get intentional about your spiritual formation, then I guess I have to ask, who's up for something weird? Now, I like to have a little more enthusiasm than that. So whenever, if you're new, when I say who's up for something weird, we raise our hands and we say, yeah! Okay? So if you're ready to get serious about your spiritual formation, if you're ready to get intentional of being formed in the likeness of Christ, I have to ask a question. Who's up for something weird?
Yeah!
Okay, that's good. Let's do it. Let's just do it. Let's just do it, right? When you go on vacation next summer, I guarantee you're going to sit down at the kitchen table and you're going to write out a plan, right? When you had a baby, you said, here's the plan. Here's how we're going to raise him, right? When you went on a diet, here's my plan. Here, I've read 1,500 books. Here, I've watched 1,000 videos. I'm writing it down, man. This is what, if you're working on your golf game, I'm going to get new clubs. I'm going to take a lesson. I'm going to hit balls every day. You're figuring out a plan. Let's just do that. Let's just try it. Let's just craft our own rule of life, and we can tweak it and work on it and refine it as we go, but we have to start. We have to start. So this week, we've been having like a spiritual practice every week, right? This week, let's write what will be the first draft. How about that? It'll be the first draft of our own personal rule of life. So John Mark Comer gives some great tips on that. I'm going to give you some quick tips. If you're going to write your rule of life this week, they're going to come pretty fast. Number one, start small. It's super easy to get very excited about this thing and, you know, bite off more than you can chew. So it's way better to start small and simple and then let it grow big and complicated than it is to start big and complicated and try to figure out how to small it up and how to simplify it. So we're gonna be coming back to this stuff a lot over the next year or two or forever. So it doesn't have to be perfect today. This draft is not the final draft. So start small, and like I've said this 100 times, but start where you are, not where you think you should be, and not where you think other people are. We gotta find God in our real world. Right? So if you say you're going to do something that you're not going to be able to do, that's not helpful. So, you know, we want to talk about finding God in our real life, not the life that you used to have, or not the life that you plan to have, not the life that you wish you had, but the life that you actually have. So start where you are. And for most people, that's going to mean starting with some really small habits, little really doable practices that you can do that bring life and that bring space to your time with Jesus. So if you're a full-time student and you're working 2 full-time jobs and you're raising infant triplets while you're taking care of your aging parents, you know, it's not helpful for you to write out a rule that includes 4 hours a day of Bible study, okay, because that's not going to happen. And if you, it'd be great. I mean, it'd be awesome to set us up. Yeah, let's start off. I'm going to start the day with 1 hour of quiet time with God, and then I'm going to have 2 hours of Bible study and 3 hours of worship and 4 hours of prayer. That'd be cool if you could do that. But if 3 hours isn't going to happen, how about starting with 15 minutes? You know, how about starting with 10 minutes? How about starting with 5 minutes? And then just like let it grow. I think once you've experienced it, once you've experienced some of this stuff, once you've really experienced like the beauty and the peace and the joy of God in the quiet, I'm not going to have to tell you to increase your time because you're going to want to increase your time. Tip number 2, think subtraction, not addition. Think subtraction, not addition. You have to take out, it's like a budget. Right? You got to take out more than you put in. And it's really tempting to write out your rule as a list of 1,000 things that you're going to do. And that's not terrible. But for most of us, it would be at least as helpful to write out a list of things that we are not going to do so that we can create space for these healthy practices, so that we can create space for the things that do transform us. So this isn't about adding stuff to your calendar. This is about taking enough out of your calendar that you create time and space for God to do his work in you. And your rule should bring you time. It should bring you space. It should bring you joy. It should bring you peace. It should bring you rest. Look what Jesus says. This is Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary." Man, if you're stressed, if you're just overworked and overworried and overburdened, if you're just worn out, and he says, "I will give you rest. I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke, my teaching on you." Not the teaching of these religious people that say you got to do 10,000 things, you got to be gooder and try harder and do more. Jesus says, "Take my yoke on you. Let me teach you because I'm humble. I'm gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls." We should be resting in these practices, not forcing out these practices, not straining for these practices. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy. The burden I give you is light." So if you're tired of just trying so hard to be so good, to do so right, to keep up, to be everything, Jesus is offering something through these practices that you need. He's offering you rest. Just resting in the knowledge that he's doing the miracle. He's doing the work in you. Your only real job is to create space for that to happen. And to say yes. And not to say yes to 1 million new religious jobs. To say yes to him. To say yes to him transforming you. And I know everybody, not everybody, a lot of us right now are thinking, yeah, that sounds great, but it's impossible. Right? My life is too busy. I'm too stressed. I'm too overwhelmed to slow down. And if that's you, John Mark Comer actually wrote another book you might want to read, and it's based on the teaching of Dallas Willard. So check out the title of this book and see if it sounds amazing to you. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Super good book. You know who you are. Tip number three, take a balanced approach. These are all kinds. There's nine practices that we're talking about, and some of these practices you can do best alone, like quiet time and solitude. Some of the practices work best in community. Some of the practices are about doing, like service and worship and feasting. Some of them are about not doing, like solitude and silence and Sabbath. And depending on you and your life situation and your personality type, some of the practices will seem awesome to you and easy for you, and some of them will be more of a challenge. So for me, I love corporate worship. I love Bible study. I love feasting. I don't love fasting. I don't love solitude. That's like, I don't love solitude. And you're going to have your preferences too. And so some of these are going to come really easy, and some are not going to come as easy. But we want to create a rule of life that covers a whole range of your formation and not just your personality or your preferences. But tip number four, you do have to account for you. As you're creating this rule of life and you're writing out how you're going to live your life. Yeah, we want balance. We want the community stuff and we want the individual stuff. We want the doing stuff and we want the not doing stuff, right? We have to have balance, but we do have to account for your personality and your life season and your circumstances. And you know, God created us all differently, right? The Bible says he's created us to be wonderfully complex and unique. And he knew you before you were born. He created you the way you are. And so your personality and your preferences are not a mistake. God made you, you. So do you in these practices. If you're an introverted, intellectual Bible geek, right, and you really feel recharged by spending 15 hours a day in the Word, then you should make sure that you set up plenty of time in your rule of life for this practice that brings you so much life. If you're an extroverted, like a really feeling person, and your favorite thing in the world is sensing God's presence and corporate worship, then don't come to church late on Sundays, right? Don't come in and miss that. I mean, create time, create space for that to happen. Make room for that important practice for you. Some of us need certain practices way more than others. So take a balanced approach of practices that challenge you and also the ones that are easy for you, the ones that are really seem impossible to you and the ones that seem natural to you. You also have to think of your season of life. I mean, depends on what's going on with you right now. Just like your budget changes, right? If you're an old person right now, how many of you are old? I just want to see if you'd raise your hand. I'm sorry. Sometimes I have to have fun. You know, So if you're an old person right now and you're retired and you're not going to work every day, you're not changing diapers every day, you're not going to soccer practice every day, your life has changed, right? You probably have a little more time in your life. You probably have a little more money in your life. You probably have a lot more room in your life for a lot of different things. So your season of life changes. And as your season of life changes, your calendar changes, your budget changes, right? And your rule of life should change. Tip number five. There is no formation without repetition. There is no formation without repetition. If you've tried to learn a sport, if you've tried to learn an instrument, you know this. There is no formation without repetition. And I'm telling you, the hard, cold fact is Christ-like practices become habits that transform us into the likeness of Jesus, but not overnight. Formation is slow, and it might seem like monotonous work sometime. It might seem like it's not, I mean, it's just not, is it even happening? You know, I keep doing this thing. Is it even working? I planted an oak tree in my backyard a couple of weeks ago, and I was sitting out on my back porch, like, I guess 3 days after I planted it, and I thought, what the heck? You know, I've been watering it. How long is this going to take? It looks the same now as it looked 2 days ago. It's an oak tree. It's got 500 years from now, it'll look different. But this is the kind of work that we're doing. Sometimes it feels like it's not happening. Sometimes it feels like it's not going to happen. But it is happening, and it is going to happen. It's just slow. But over time, these practices have a cumulative effect on our spiritual formation. John Mark gives a really great example in this book that some of you will get and some of you won't. It's about Mr. Miyagi. Who knows Mr. Miyagi? Okay, most of you do. So you know it's the Karate Kid, right? And so in the moment of these practices, you might feel like you're just waxing a car, right? You may feel like it's like, this is for what? This is all you may feel like you're just painting the fence, right? That's all I'm doing is painting the fence. It feels like it's monotonous. It feels like a waste of time. It feels like nothing is happening. That's how it feels. But actually, those behaviors are making us a karate master, ready to kick some Cobra Kai butt, right? And it's just, John Mark didn't say butt when he gave this story, so he's much holier. But it's the same, listen, it's the same with these practices. It's the same with these practices. In the moment, man, when you're just grinding through it, you know, you're just, when I'm doing solitude, I can't tell you how much I hate solitude and quiet. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable in that. But it's a practice of Jesus, man. I mean, I'm going to have to do it. And when I'm doing it, it feels like nothing's happening. I'm wasting my time. And so you know what I do? I set a timer. I set a timer with a bell. And I give, I'm 3 minutes, man. I am sitting here right now for 3 minutes. I'm just going to listen to God. And I am not going to let my brain start doing that thing. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, here we go. Now I'm thinking about the stupidest stuff. So I'm going to set a timer. Here's why I set a timer. At first I said, I'll use my watch, right? I'll use my watch. I'm going to go 3 minutes of silence. Okay, and go. It's like, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Okay. Okay. Oh, 2 seconds. Okay. Yes, Lord, bring it. You know, I'm ready for you right now. That's got to be 3 minutes. That's got to be 3 minutes. I hope I'm not over right now. I could be 30 minutes. It's 8 seconds, you know, so I had to set a timer. I have to set a timer that will ring, because otherwise I'm just going to be, this is my whole process of solitude. It doesn't seem like anything's happening to me in that moment where I'm just sitting there and I'm not saying anything. I'm not reading anything. I'm not writing anything. I'm not hearing anything. I'm not doing anything. And to me, it feels like I'm wasting my time. It feels like nothing's happening. It feels like I'm just sitting there doing nothing. That's how it feels. But actually, God is using those behaviors to make me like my master. When we don't feel like fasting or praying or going to church, we have to trust Jesus. We have to stay with it. Formation takes time. There is no formation without repetition. God intentionally created these practices. He could have made them anything. He could have made them anything. Jesus intentionally modeled specific activities for our formation. That's why we say he's our model, right? If we do them, they work. Even if we don't see it. Even if we don't feel anything. So just don't give up. Ask for help from the Holy Spirit. That's what I do with the solitude thing. Jesus, help me be still. Help me not look at my watch. Help me not talk. Help me just be still for a minute. And just, we have to practice. What's their practices, right? We have to practice the practices that are in your rule of life. Tip number 6, last one. Do this in community. Do this in community. It's really easy to think of crafting and ruling, creating a rule of life as, you know, an individual thing. This is what I do, I write, what I'm going to do, my rule. And that's not wrong. That's not wrong. And I'll just tell you that anything you do that brings intentionality to your spiritual formation, I would say, is a good thing. But historically, a rule of life was for a community. Historically, a rule of life was designed to hold a Jesus community together around these shared rhythms and around these shared practices of spiritual formation. So following a rule in community can change everything. This is what we're made for. You guys get that, right? God created us to be certain ways, right? He created us to be together. He created us to do life together. We're like herd animals, right? We're created to be together. And so following a rule in a community can make it better. So imagine, like, praying is cool, but praying together is amazing, right? Worshiping by yourself is awesome. If you're singing worship in the shower, I'm sure it sounds fine. But all of us singing together, it's just so much better. Serving together. When you got work to do for the kingdom, I mean, it's work. I'm going to do this work, and I can even enjoy the work, but it's just more fun. It's more effective. It's just better when we're together. I'm talking about his word. It's great to study the word by yourself, but there's something really special in getting together with somebody and saying, does yours say this? Like, what do you think that means? Here's what I think it means. What do you think it means? There's something really powerful in that. You might find encouragement in that. You might find strength in that. I'm going to tell you that, like, if you're fasting, it really helps you to know that somebody else is doing it with you. You can hold each other accountable. You can encourage each other to get through it. And then think, like, feasting. If one of your things is feasting, that's obviously a lot more fun together. We were some friends last night. We're having dinner around this table, and there's six of us sitting there talking for 2 hours. I mean, we could have eaten that same food. It would have been good, but it wouldn't have been the same for me to just sit there by myself. It was fun to just be with those other people. God designed us to be better together. So as you take this, like, first pass to draft your rule of life, Margaret and I are going to do ours this week together. We're going to write it together that we're both going to do. And as you're drafting yours, as much as possible, and when it is possible, do it in community. And that can be with one friend. That can be with your family or your group or your Bible study. Someday we will work through this as a whole church. Someday we'll write a rule of life for our church. And that's going to be really fun and really messy and take a really long time. But that's okay. I mean, it's worth it. It's worth the trouble and the effort and the messiness and the time to know that through these practices of Jesus, through crafting a rule of life and being intentional about our spiritual formation, we're partnering with God. You see that? It's a big deal, man. We're partnering with God to do a miracle in us, to transform us into the likeness of our Rabbi Jesus, so that we can not just live, so that we can thrive, so that we can flourish, so that we can matter in this world and in his kingdom. So like all good apprentices, this is on-the-job training, right? We're learning as we grow. This is a pretty new concept, I think, for a lot of us to be intentional about our spiritual formation. A lot of us, if they, I want to be formed, I want to be like Jesus. So I got the bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? And like, that's it. You know, so, but like, most of us have not said, well, what's the plan? You know, how are we going to become more like Jesus? So like most apprentices, this is an ongoing process. So we want to help you. So I'm going to give you a couple of tools today as you're going to craft your rule of life. The first one is, if you scan this QR code that we're going to put on the screen right now, if you've got your phones, this is going to get you to some really helpful documents. So these are ideas and tips and all samples of other people's rules of life. We also have paper ones. If I said QR code and you said, what the heck is that? Well, then we've got for you, we've got some already printed out things back there. And we also have, and this is provided by the people at Practicing the Way, not me, a really cool online tool that's going to help you create your rule of life. I'm going to show you a quick demo of this. Matt, do you have that video? So you'll open this thing up, click on Build Your Rule of Life. Down the left side, there's the practices. Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, scripture, community, service, generosity, witness, other practices. Pick out the one you want to work on. We're going to do prayer. So now here comes this thing. What do we want to do every day? Okay, I'm going to worship with music every day. That's part of my prayer that I'm going to make a rule of my life. What am I going to do once a week? Go on a prayer walk, pray with your family. Yeah, I'm going to pray with my family or community once a week. What am I going to do every month about prayer? I am going to host or attend a community prayer night. You can also create your own practices in each one of these things. What am I going to do seasonally? What am I going to do annually? Once a year, my prayer life is going to include praying over my family at the beginning of the year. So each one of these things is helping us build a rule of life. You don't have to do them all. Do one. do it just daily or do it just weekly. You can do whatever you want to do, but this is a really super good tool. And if you want help with that one, put another QR code up there. If you click this, it'll take you straight to that thing. Or if you contact me this week and I'll tell you how to get to it, I'll put it in my email to you this week. But this is a really, really helpful tool. And I think it will help us do what we're trying to do. And that is to take, like he's saying this, like take a step, you know, like do something towards our spiritual formation, not just sitting on the couch and hoping it happens, but actually take partnering with God. He wants to do a miracle. Jesus is saying to you what he said to that crippled man at Bethesda. He's saying, I'll do the miracle. I'll do the miracle. But I need you to take a step in faith. I need you to do what you can do. And as you do what you can do, I will do what you can't do. I'll make you like me. I'll transform you. This is what we want to do. So let's build a rule of life. And let's practice the ways of our Rabbi Jesus so that we can what? So that we can become like him. And so that we can be with him. And so that by doing the things he did, we could be transformed into his image. Let's pray. Father, your word tells us that your ways are higher than our ways and your plans are higher than our plans, even more than we can even understand. And I see it. I see it. I see that your plans for us are so much higher than our plans, that your vision for us is so much bigger than we can see. You've called us not just to muddle through this life. Like a song we sang this morning, we were made for more. We were made not just to live. We were made to thrive. And to flourish and to make a difference in this world, but also to thrive and flourish and make a difference in your kingdom. And God, we recognize that your kingdom is so upside down and so weird to us that we need to transform ourselves so that we can fit in your kingdom. We need to become less like Adam and more like Jesus. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll do this incredible miracle in us through your hand, your spirit in us, but you'll show us the steps we need to take to participate in our own miracle. God, I pray that you'll just remind us, not to just blow this off and forget about it till next week, but really this week, that we'll go home, we'll pray about what you would have us to do in each one of these practices or some of these practices and write out a rule of life. And as we're doing it, God, lead us. Speak to us through your spirit, through your word, through the model of Jesus, through somebody else. Show us what we should do. Show us what should be in our rule. And then as we get it written and we get it crafted, God, I just pray that every day you will empower us with your Holy Spirit to do the things that we set out to do. Not for our glory, not so we can seem religious, not so people can see us differently, but so that we can become more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.